could tell you come closer. And if she tempts you with a charm, tell her no, 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 no. Tell you I love you, whoa, whoa. And if she tempts you with a charm, don't let it go from your arms.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, for the rest of the evening, we'll have open lines right here on Coast to Coast. I'll tell you about a special hotline we're going to open up in a second. Here's some of the stories of the day, of course, staying on top of the Terri Schiavo story. The feeding tube that has kept Terri Schiavo alive for the past 15 years has now been removed. A statement on Terri Schiavo's parents' website says that Terri's nutrition and hydration have now been withheld from her. It is unclear if the port that accommodates her feeding tube has been surgically removed, as her family was ordered to leave the room. Terri Schiavo suffered severe brain damage when she collapsed in 1990, and her heart temporarily stopped, possibly as a result of a eating disorder. An attorney for Terri Schiavo says that she cried and yelled that she wants to live after being told that her life-sustaining feeding tube was about to be removed from the court. Now, her name is Barbara Weller. That's the attorney. She was in Terri Schiavo's room at the Woodside Hospice in Pinellas Park, Florida, when the encounter apparently took place. The report apparently refutes the court's finding that Terri Schiavo is in a persistent vegetative state and cannot currently express her wishes. When she made these sounds, apparently a police officer heard them so loudly that he ran into the room, and then he ordered the attorney out of the room. Michael Schiavo, Terri's husband, contends that she had indicated she would not want to live in such a condition, but her parents, Robert and Mary Schindler, dispute that and suspect that he's responsible for the 1990 incident in which oxygen to her brain was temporarily cut off, causing severe brain damage. The Ukraine says that cruise missiles capable of carrying nuclear warheads has been smuggled out of the country to Iran, but they denied a report that they had exported with official sanction. The country's new government swept to power in January on pledges to stamp out high-level corruption and forge closer ties with the West, said it would tighten controls on the export of technology with military use. Britain's Financial Times newspaper quoted Ukraine's prosecutor general as saying that Kiev authorities had sold missiles to Iran and China. The newspaper quoted a prosecutor saying that 18 cruise missiles, also known as X-55s or AS-15Ss, were exported in 2001 when former President Leonid Kuchma was in power. None was exported with nuclear weapons, they say. The X-55 has a range of some 1,800 miles launched from Iran. They say it could reach Israel. In Washington, the anthrax false alarm this week served as a reminder that federal authorities still have not caught whoever was responsible for the all-too-real attacks in 2001 that left five people dead. No arrests have been made, no charges filed in that case. Attorneys and scientists who have followed the investigation say they see no evidence of recent activity. The FBI says that's not true. They have issued 5,000 grand jury subpoenas, and they say the investigation remains intensely active. in Omaha, Nebraska, a musical child who completed high school at the age of 10 apparently killed himself at the age of 14. Brendan Bremer, who had studied piano at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, was found dead in his home with a gunshot wound to the head. He began playing the piano at 3 and took his first high school class at 6. He was homeschooled through high school, completing his junior and senior years in 7 months. At 11, he started taking independent study classes at Colorado State. He had taken courses during the spring and fall semesters of 2002 and then later took private lessons. One of his professors said he was shocked to learn of the apparent suicide. They called him a really nice young man. In St. Petersburg, Florida, a 5-year-old girl was arrested, cuffed, put in the back of a police cruiser after an outburst at school where she just went nuts. She threw books, boxes, kicked a teacher in the shins, smashed a candy dish, hit an assistant principal in the stomach, drew on walls. The students were counting jelly beans as part of a math exercise at the school when the little girl began acting silly. That's when her teacher took away her jelly beans, outraging the child. Later, the 40-pound girl was in the back of a police cruiser under arrest for battery, saying, "I don't want to go to jail." No charges were filed. The girl sent home to her mother. An outbreak of an unidentified, very strange fever has claimed the lives of 87 people in northern Angola over the past 4 months. The health ministry there is awaiting results of samples sent to Senegal and, of course, samples sent to the United States to identify the strain of this hemorrhagic fever. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, take a look at the North Sea crater showing scars. What is thought to be the United Kingdom's only space impact crater has been mapped in detail in 3D for the first time. Go take a look at it. If you have a computer, the new pictures show a spectacular set of rings sweeping out of a 2-mile central hole. They believe that an asteroid or comet smashed into the planet some 60 to 65 million years ago there. Ironically, very close to the time that one hit in the Yucatan. I wonder if something broke apart and just, you know, flew all over the planet. A husband, by the way, listen to this. A husband has repaid the wife who donated a kidney to him to save his life. He's dumped her for his sister-in-law. How about that for thanks? 53-year-old man in the United Kingdom, John Jewell, left his wife at 33 years, left Carol to move in with her brothers, with his brother's wife. Town Mayor Carol also said that, what a strange, strange story. Doctors had been unable to find a donor. They tested the wife as a last resort. She was a perfect match. She donated her kidney and simply says, this is what she says, "I'm more upset than anything else over the way he did it." This guy's going to keep his money for a long time. Germany's biggest individual lottery winner had no time to celebrate. He won $27 million. They told him he had won when he went in to get a new lottery ticket for the upcoming lottery pick. He didn't even know he had won. They told him he did. Apparently, he didn't care. He was too worried about being late for work. He didn't even worry about it. He just put his ticket back in his pocket and ran off to work. There's no telling if he's going to stay on the job or whether he's going to quit. A Serbian builder fainted, had to go to the hospital after he opened his toolbox. He found a 15-foot python inside. The snake apparently was the pet of the owner of the house that he was working on. The owner said, "I always thought builders were tough, but his legs went weak and he passed out immediately. Who could blame him?" Director George Lucas has a message for all of us who love Star Wars films. The final episode of the billion-dollar Star Wars film, he says, will leave everyone kind of emotional. It's a tearjerker. Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, arrives in theaters on May 19th. He says, it's a tearjerker. By the way, a survey from sci-fi fans about Star Trek. Listen to this. 1,200 response. their favorite captain, Jean Picard, over James T. Kirk by a wide margin. I would have thought Kirk would have won, but not, it's Picard. First officer, by a wide margin, Spock is picked as the favorite. Engineer, Scotty, he's picked as the favorite. Communications and security, Worf is picked as the favorite. The favorite doctor from Star Trek fans, Leonard McCoy. And miscellaneous support, as they call it, the favorite is Data. That was in a survey of 1,200 Star Trek fans. I've got to tell you my zombie story. That's why we're going to open up a special hotline for those of you who may know zombies or ghouls. And I have to talk a little quietly because my voice is beamed throughout this building. Heavy security here. And we have one security guard who I swear to the man upstairs is not human. This guy has no emotion. For 3 months now, we have said hello to him. We have said goodbye to him. He doesn't move his head. He doesn't blink. He doesn't say anything. He just looks ahead. And you walk past him, and his eyes move a little bit. But that's it. His arms don't move. His body doesn't move. Now, I know he's physical. I mean, he's not like a rubber doll or anything. I mean, he's a person. But he's the strangest, ghoulish zombie I have ever seen in my life. And I wonder if in your life you've come across individuals like this, if you want to share a story with us about these people. But I'm telling you, this guy is darn right scary. And yesterday I talked to some of the security guards that work with him. They don't want to talk about him. That's how bad it is. So that special line for those of you who have encountered ghouls or zombies. And by the way, there's a feature story on zombies on the coasttocoastam.com website if you want to take a look. 818-817-0021. This is just for ghouls or zombies, just this line. 818-817-0021. The rest of the phone numbers, west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, that's ready for you right now, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. Open line start on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, the new Star Wars episode is Sith, and I may have said Sith or something like that. It just, you know, it's Star Wars Episode 3. That's all you have to worry about. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
North Hills.
North Hills where?
In the Valley, California.
Oh, you're in California. Okay.
Yes. How you doing,
I'm
George
doing fine.
Norrie.
Thanks.
Yes, my name is Estelle, and I was calling to speak about the Citrus County, Florida incident with Jessica Lunsford.
Yeah.
And the that murder plea on that old guy. I mean,
horrible story.
What's he doing messing with something that young?
He's sick. He's been a convicted a sex offender, and he had been out. They let him out early. And he confesses to police today. And you know what? The story's so sickening, I didn't even want to talk about it tonight.
Oh, I know. It's so sickening. But actually, I was on the line with the county sheriff down in Florida, March 5th, and telling them to go back to that area. Suleiman Edmondson was giving the information to one of the lady officer. And he was telling her exactly where to go, that the man was built like the father, and to go back there to that area to search. And they, you know, found that some other people were helped him get away. But I'm glad he confessed, because that little girl was an angel, and she was so cute and pretty And I just, you know, been real emotional about it tonight because it's like, I wish they could have got there sooner. Maybe she could be alive there still. You know, with
who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, but that Suleiman Edmondson was on the line with the sheriff, and they went out there, and they, you know, that's the information that they got today.
Well, and let's, you know, he's confessed. The tragedy is underway. He's told them, thanks, Estelle, for your call. We're generally where the body is, and it's just a sick story, and I just don't want to talk about it tonight. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Yeah. George.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim. Where are you calling from?
Sheridan, Wyoming.
Okay, welcome. What's up?
Yeah, I was talking to my son about this situation, and I guess the reason that I believe what he told me is because I've had a similar experience. But he cooked. He was a great cook, and he worked in a real fabulous restaurant here in this town.
Okay.
And but he sweltered over this hot grill in the summertime, and heat 105 degrees and that. And he said that it was just such a relief to walk into the walk-in cooler. And he said he's kind of a little dawdled a little bit just to kind of cool off in there. Well, the reason this is relevant is because later he had a job in a cemetery and he mowed lawns there. And he said he mowed over several thousand graves with a power mower.
Mm.
All right. But he said out of several thousand graves, there was like seven that were always the same spots that when he went over this spot with the mower, that he felt like that his that it was just way too long in this 3-foot section. Now, I don't know how fast he was going. He's sitting right here next to me. How fast were you going, do you think?
Oh, about 7 miles.
Maybe 7 miles an hour.
That's pretty fast on a lawnmower.
That's on, yeah. Well, when you take a 3-foot wide grave, he said that it was like eternity and that he just chilled down to the bone. I mean, to the point that it was absolutely unbearable.
Did he ever take a look at the headstones, find out who might have been there?
Oh, you know what? After he told me this, we're going to go back there, and we're going to walk through the cemetery. He thinks he can find some of these spots, and we're going to find that out, and we're going to kind of document that.
And how cold was it compared to the outside area, the rest of the environment?
Well, it's like 100 degrees out when he's mowing across these. Plus, he's in this the heat of the mower and the, you know, the
sure.
Dock. Sure.
Okay, and then these specific areas, how many degrees colder?
Randy?
Hard to
explain. I guess he said it was so unbearable that it was so uncomfortable. It was unlike the experience of walking into the cooler when he was hot.
Okay, so he's saying it's very hot around these graves.
Well, it was hot in the summertime on the mower, but then it was absolutely unbearably cold when he went across these.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. All right.
Right.
Very
yeah.
Chilling. There's something strange about that. Okay, thanks for that call. Go back and find out who was buried there. Then you'll find out why it's probably so chilly. Zombie Hotline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
I'm a prosecutor in Southern California.
Okay.
And I got this weird case, some minor little offense. But I looked at the booking photographs, and I said, nah, it can't be. So I just kind of waited until the guy came into court. And I swear to you, he must have been either a zombie or an alien or something. He was like 4'3" tall, like 90 pounds, had the highest forehead I've ever seen on anybody, had ears that stuck out like an inch and a half beyond his head.
Oh, my.
And he was just weird. I showed his booking photograph around everybody.
Yeah.
And they all, as soon as I opened the package, the file up to the booking photograph, everybody, they just like, repulse from it.
Yeah, just yeah. So, did he have long arms too that were just longer than his body?
No, when I first saw him, at least his photograph, I thought the guy must be a dwarf or a midget or something. But no, he, you know how dwarfs will have unnatural, you know, sized arms.
Yeah,
and they'll look. He didn't look like that. He just looked like a smaller, weird-looking guy
with a huge head.
Yeah, the forehead was like 5 inches tall, 5 inches above his head. Above his eyes, I mean.
Did he speak?
Yeah, he had a real squeaky high voice.
And what can you tell us what he was charged with?
Oh, it was something like urinating in public or something, you know.
Well, maybe these aliens don't know any better.
or they can't hold it.
Or they can't hold it. Well, hey, it's a long trip. You never know. That's one thing. They built the spacecraft without bathrooms. They finally made a mistake. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue all night long. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast. And yes, the zombie hotline is 818-817-0021.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com. Code 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Yes, and our zombie hotline is 818-817-0021. I'm going to give you another number. For those of you who still want the double After Dark CD, the CD that includes bumper music, ghost stories, and very strange calls to the show, you can call 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. Or go online at After Dark CD. AfterDarkCD.com. A ghoul, by the way, is an evil spirit that haunts cemeteries, robbing graves, doing all those kinds of dastardly deeds. And then a zombie is a dead person brought back to life through a curse or some kind of mutation. And that is what I think the security guard may be. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
Vancouver, B.C.
Vancouver. Okay, good to see you. That's where Adam is, by the way.
Yeah, I heard.
He's out there somewhere.
My question would be, if you clone a historical figure, who'd you clone?
If I could clone a historical figure, who would I clone?
I got it.
Well, now, is it just because you asked the question? Because I'm going to give you a name, and some people would say, you know, that's not the right thing to do. But so I would just say, based on who I would like to see and meet through cloning, I think it would be Jesus. Probably one of the most historical figures, I think, that this planet has ever had. And I would be very curious to see what the clone of Jesus might be, how it would act, how he would act. I would do that. How about you?
Who
would
you call? Mahatma Gandhi.
You would?
Yes. I love his ways of peace.
It's pretty close to Jesus.
Pretty close.
Not a bad selection.
Have a good night, George.
All right. Thank you. That's very, you know what? I would have not guessed that. I don't think anybody would have brought that up. How about that? West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Going once. Going twice. Going for good. First time caller line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
George.
Yes.
This is Doug from Anderson, South Carolina, News Talk 1230 WAIM.
Hey, Doug, you sound like you're on the air down there.
Well, I work there.
Did
but,
you?
Yeah, I do. But
oh, okay.
I'm at home tonight, and I wanted to tell you, this may be strange, it may not be, but I have two dogs here at the house. They sleep with me on the bed and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have one dog that, when the coast is on, positions himself in front of the radio and will not leave until coast goes off.
Is it honest
truth?
Is that a little bulldog?
It is.
Uh-huh.
How did you know?
How did I know that?
How did you know
I
that?
I remote viewed and I saw the guy, the little thing.
He is a little bulldog.
And now I'm going to say, now this is if I get this, I'm good. Most bulldogs are dark brown. I'm going to say this one is white with some spots.
Man, this is too good to be true.
I'm two for two.
Two for two, George.
How about that? So he does. He loves the show.
He loves the show.
By the way, say hi to my ex-brother.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Thanks, George.
Thanks. Appreciate it. How about that? And I didn't know he was calling. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thanks. Where are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Sounds like you're on the loop somewhere.
Yeah, I am. Actually, driving a truck, going through the loop. Headed towards Indiana.
Well, be careful. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, George. I'm sorry to bring it up. I know that you said you didn't want to talk about it, but it bothered me so much today. I have two little daughters, and I know you said you didn't want to bring it up, but I just have a couple ideas that when these pedophiles get out of jail, we have to protect the little girls. Why don't they make them wear the ankle bands for the rest of their lives? You know, so that they won't climb in somebody's window if they're getting tracked.
Well, and here's a better idea. Why don't we just keep them in jail?
That's the best one yet, but...
You know, because you know. I happen, and, you know, since you brought it up, I don't think sex offenders who have been involved with children are ever cured.
I agree 100%.
And in this particular case, they should have kept this guy until the end of time.
And another thing I have is, you know, I bought a German Shepherd dog, and I bet you nobody ever climbed in my window.
You got that right.
You know, they got to get a dog to alert them that somebody's around the house.
Something. Exactly. Hey, thanks. You be careful out there.
Thank you, George.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Eric.
Hello, Eric. Where might you be?
Greeley, Colorado.
Greeley, Colorado. Okay.
It's like 45 miles north of Denver.
That is a very pretty area.
Yeah, I love it. It's pretty nice out here. Just moved out here from St. Louis, actually.
Oh, did you really? Whereabouts in St. Louis did you live?
Florissant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
My daughter lives out there.
Oh, she. Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard you say.
Yep.
I got a St. Louis ghost story for you.
Okay, great.
Okay. You know where, there's up in North St. Louis area, there's like a 270 in Lilac.
Yep.
Well, one day, me and my... a friend of mine, a couple of years ago, we were driving, and there's this one weird house at the end of Lilac. It's really spooky looking and has, like, weird things on it. It looks like a witch's house or something.
That was my old house, Eric. No, I'm kidding.
Well, anyway, what happened was one night we were driving down this road, and it's a dead-end road. And we were driving there, and then we turned around to head back. Then we were driving, and we were driving down Bell Fountain Road, and it was still following us. This car started following us. And we were driving through the subdivision, still following us, got on the highway, still following us, same car, same vehicle the whole time. Everywhere we went would still be behind us.
So you're getting a little concerned here, weren't you?
Yeah, we were getting a little freaked out because we would not go away wherever we went. And then we decided to get back on the highway, and we were driving towards Illinois there, and they have the road right at the end of, right before you go to Illinois over the Chain of Rocks Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And we turned on that road to get, see if we could maybe lose him, and he still followed us.
So was that Pontoon Beach Road?
No, it's on the Missouri side.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right by the old Chamber of Commerce, right before the Chain of Rocks Bridge.
Okay.
I can't think of it. Riverview, that's what it is.
All right.
Well, anyway, we were driving. We turned left on the Riverview, and we kept on driving, and then it's a bunch of farmland, no roads on the side. And then suddenly, it just disappeared. It wasn't there anymore. The car wasn't there anymore, and we looked to see if there was any roads that turned on or houses or anything. There was nothing. And where it just happened to disappear was where the road had dead-ended up on the top of the little bluff there, you know? And then we went back to my friend's house, and we're talking to her mom, and she said back in, like, 76, some kids were car jumping, and they jumped over and crashed right there where the car disappeared.
Uh-oh.
So I call it my 76 Buick story because it looked like a yellow 76 Buick.
That's incredible. You know,
kind of really
stranger things have happened. Who's to say that exactly what was going on?
Oh, I know. We were, like, talking about it for, like, weeks after that, and we're like, we could not figure out where the heck that car could have gone because there's no roads or anything to turn off.
I wonder what would have happened, Eric, had that car not disappeared and maybe still had the ghostly apparitions in it and they came up to you.
Oh, that would be freaky.
Think about that. Hey, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Ever get back to St. Louis much?
I went there for Christmas to visit the family, but
right.
Me and my girlfriend moved out here to go to school, so.
All right, well, good luck in school.
All right, thanks.
All right,
have
sure.
a good day.
You too. Let's move on to our zombie hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah, hi.
How's it going, George?
It's going well.
All right. I have a comment and kind of a question, and then I got the zombie story.
Okay, let's get the question out of the way.
Okay. How did your engineer supply the bumper music? You know, like does he pick it out on his own or?
Well, no, we've got a staff, and this is how we work. I mean, the staff picks bumper music. I pick bumper music. Art picks his bumper music, and then we all just kick them around. And you know, sometimes I pick stuff, and they look at me like, "God, you old man, what are you doing?" And then I listen to some of the stuff they pick. And just when I'm ready to open my mouth and yell at them, I'll see 10 fast blasts come in and go, "Thanks for that song," and I'll pretend that I picked it out.
Yeah, because that's me, because you play a lot of some music that I wouldn't really expect to hear on Coast to Coast.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. But, you know, because Coast is so huge and it skews all kinds of ages. I mean, there are people my age that love different music. There are people your age that love different music. So I try to mix it up.
Okay, well, doing a great job.
Now, last night was St. Patty's Day. That's why we played some strange stuff.
Yeah, it was my father's birthday as well, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you tell him happy birthday from 10 million people.
All right, thanks, Josh. Let me get
your story. I almost hung up on your zombie story.
Yeah, okay, I'll make it really quick, okay? I grew up in L.A. in a town called Highland Park.
Yeah.
And, being a young kid and all, I used to go out, you know, hang out with my friends out pretty late at night and walking down the streets. And we used to see this lady. I don't know if I can say this on the air, but...
Well, be careful here.
We used to call her the Caca Lady because her hair looked like she had, feet.
All right.
Yeah, and she was really scary looking. She had really big, wide eyes. And she walked in her nightgown, and she just looked really gooey and...
Just
scary.
Weird. Yeah.
And we would always try to avoid her. And I spoke to my mom about this and my grandmother. Supposedly she's been wandering those streets for years.
This is a real person, right?
Yeah, it's a real person.
Yeah, not a ghostly figure, a really zombie-type ghoulish person.
Right.
Maybe she's just a little eccentric.
Or just not very good with hygiene or something. I don't know.
Or something. You never know. But she's the closest to a zombie you've ever seen, huh?
Yeah. She's pretty scary. She would probably still scare me if I saw her tonight.
Well, let me tell you, you got to see this security guard. That's scary. Thanks for the call. Next up, first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going tonight, George?
Oh, it is rolling along. Thanks.
You know, I was just calling, one question and then, like, one quick story.
Well, first you must tell us where you are.
Oh, I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay.
beautiful L.A.
It sure is. A little rainy in L.A. today.
Oh, it is. It brings you down, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you go to St. Louis when it rains for like 8 days in a row, and then you come back to L.A. and go, it's rained 2 days, I can handle this.
That's true. Well, my question would be, I heard you say one time on the air that you were in the Navy. I was just wanting to know exactly what did you do when you were in the Navy?
9 years. 9 years, public information officer, did not see active duty in terms of warfare, none of that. It was a cushy job. I was at the Pentagon Defense Information School at Fort Benjamin in Indianapolis. That's where they sent us. I was at Pensacola, and then I did my reserve duty. But as I've told my son, who went, Dad, look at these ribbons you've got, I did not see any kind of warfare. I am not a hero like our men and women are in all these battles that they're in. You know, I had a cushy Navy job, and I was proud to serve, but I did not do anything like they've been doing.
Oh, do you know if MMs are pretty cushy jobs?
What's that?
Machinist mates.
I didn't understand you.
Do you know if being a machinist mate is a cushy job?
Cushy job? No, I think that's a pretty tough job.
Okay, and to the story, well, one time we was up in Oregon, and because I used to have family up there. And it's crazy because, you know, like, my grandma, she's like one of those spiritual cleaners. Like, she cleans houses and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
She takes the bad spirits out.
She's the cleaner.
Yes, pretty much. And one day, you know, they woke us up like at 2 in the morning, and they stuffed us all into a car, me and my cousins, and then they were like, oh, well, you know, just stay in the car and don't look back towards the house because we're going to be cleaning it, taking all the bad spirits out. And us as dumb little curious kids, we first thing we do is look back, and, you know, next thing we know, we see, like, you know, them voodoo dolls hanging from the trees, and it was like, it was crazy.
You're lucky you didn't turn into a pillar of salt.
That's true.
Never turn back.
That's true. And, you know, from that day on, when they were like, don't look back, we definitely didn't look back.
Good point. Hey, thanks.
No problem. Have a good one.
You too, my friend. Moving on, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is Roy.
Hi, Roy. Where are you?
Near Buffalo, New York. I'm headed out to Washington State.
Well, that's a pretty good little haul for you, but it's straight down. That's right. Go ahead.
There's a place in, I believe it's Wilcox, about the 333 down there on I-10. They have it's a place called The Thing. Have you ever heard of it?
Yep.
Anybody know what that being is that's inside of that glass case they got down there?
I don't. There have been all kinds of reports that it's an alien, that it's a Sasquatch. I don't know what it is. What have you heard?
Has Linda Moulton Howe ever investigated that?
Boy, I do not know. That's a good question. I'm going to see her in a few weeks here. I'll ask her that.
The people I talk to there at the run the place, they say that they found it in a cave up in Flagstaff. I don't know whether that's true or just something they said, but it looks pretty. Well, you talk about, what would you call it? You had your line for your freaky beings, what have you. That would be one. The knee joint didn't look like a normal person, but also there's a lady that, you talk a lot about auras and other things, healings and so on. I believe that I have the gift of healing, but I think all of us do, but more of us are...
Yeah, I think so, too.
More tuned into I get chills and involuntary twitches, what have you, when I get in that mode. But there's a lady who worked for NASA. She has written a book a number of years ago called The Hands of Light, and it'd be interesting if you can get her on. I don't know. She's still into that, but she has been doing seminars and stuff. You're into auras or what have you. She has pictures in her books of auras, people who, you know, how they affect a person, different things. And,
how did this happen to you? How did this all start?
Well, it goes back a long ways. I was involved. My parents were married, what have you. I went to church, and after they got divorced, family was kind of kicked out of the church, but I've always had this feeling that, you know, when I was grade school age, that, you know, Jesus didn't start his work until he was in his 30s. Well, but then as I got older, I found out quite a bit different than that. He was teaching the teachers, but it just kind of got more of, I've had a tingling sensation in my hands for a lot of years, and I didn't know what it was. And when I met my wife, I just told her it was my loving feeling, what have you. And the more I use it, the stronger it's becoming. My daughter had a ferret, and vet said it probably wouldn't live very long. I've just kind of held him and what have you, and the little fella got better. But my wife was asleep, and my daughter asked me about that, how it works, and I said, well, your mom's asleep, right? Well, I put my hands over her feet. I never touched her feet, and my wife says, you know, quit tickling me. I mean, so other people feel the energy.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with intention.
Absolutely.
I had spinal meningitis when I was 18 months old, and I've been doing a detox because I found out that the rash I've had on my foot for a number of years was the body was detoxing. Have you heard of a device called a Vivitar?
I have not.
It works off your body's energy. You can use a computer to scan it. It runs off like your acupuncture points, and then it'll give you like a computer diagnostic as to what is in the body, and it will help a herbalist to help the person, you know, get rid of the toxins that are in the body to help you get more in balance.
Interesting. Vivitar. I got to look that up.
Yeah, I think that's how it's pronounced. But I'd like to be an herbalist, but I'm just a dole truck driver. I guess there's a little verification.
You sound like you have more skills than you're even leading on.
Well, I'm trying to get into something different, so I can like your coast to coast is a real blessing in the nighttime.
All right. Well, you drive carefully.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program. Lots of people who drive trucks that listen to Coast to Coast. As a matter of fact, there was a truck driver unloading his rig, cars, all right, had his radio on to Art on the weekend. It was cool driving by and hearing that. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines, a couple more hours to go on Coast to Coast AM.
This part of the show, listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.